desperate need to do. Mood all time low and the songs don't really groove. All because I'm lonesome here and pining over you. Days too short, nights too long. My empty bed feels strangely wrong. My cup's empty and I'm feeling blue. That's why I stop, I'm writing about you. That's Bossa Bop by the Bahama Soul Club featuring Pat Appleton, of course, on vocals. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Tuesday, August the 27th, and it is open forum, you know, where you get to take the conversation where you want it to go. Hopefully you'll be bringing us some very profound thoughts today. But of course, we have slightly new rules on Lead Stories Open Forum, and that is, whatever your argument, and it ought to be nice and strong, a strong conviction is always attractive, but it is important that we hear reference to the opposite side of your argument so that you at least give us a sense that you appreciate both the pro and con side. So we don't want it all just 100% one-sided. Give us an idea that you have looked into and examined the flip side of your argument. So in a sense, you'll be arguing against your own point only to come back to it and disassemble it with your superior skills. All right, so those are the rules. That's the big rule. And we also want you to be as concise as possible because we usually get a flood of calls, and I really feel guilty that we by the time we sign off, there's so many other people wanting to speak. So two things, we're going to be time efficient in your making your argument, and we're going to be listening for balance. Obviously, you will have a point of view, and that's the reason you'll be calling in, to present a point of view. But we want to hear that you have looked at the other side. What is the flip side of your argument? Whatever it is, but at least present it so that you can come back right behind that after presenting it and disassemble it again with your arguments. So we're getting very proficient at this. Now, why do we do this on Lead Stories Open Forum? We have to become more and more adept at defending a position or presenting a position because we'll be talking with people more often who would have a very different point of view. But the other side or the other sides of issues usually prepare their folks and how to argue the point, you know. The right is especially good at this. They put forward their positions, and pretty soon all the folks in their camp make their points quite solidly. And you hear it everywhere you go. So there's a science to it. And we have to develop the same techniques. We have to develop the same approach so that we don't come up just as, you know, rabid, frothing people who are just, you know, talking out of our heads and literally going out of our heads. So lots of issues in the news today, since we last talked, as a matter of fact. So let me hear what it is you have to say. Harvey from Berkeley, you're up first.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And you, I hope.
Very good. I'd like to talk about something that's very seldom discussed on the radio, and that is whether there's life in the universe. And I believe there are some that say that no, we're the only ones here, And there's no signs. We haven't received any message yet. We have no way of knowing. And then others say that the universe is teeming with life and that the universe itself is alive. And I personally feel that the second is true, that the universe is teeming with life, and that people often say, well, you know, there's people who see UFOs and unidentified flying objects and experience weird phenomena, and some say hogwash to that. It's just not there. It's not real. They're seeing other things. There's a thousand reasons, including self-delusion, that they're seeing all this. And I say it is real. It is real because we are the UFO on Mars. You know, we have our landers. We have our landers on Mars. We're the UFO on the bottom of the ocean where we go down to the deepest points in our submarine. And it's, I think it's called USO, Identified Submerged Vehicle or Object. And so I feel that this has to be studied further. And one thing in particular is that when people say that they've had a UFO experience, or they say they have the message from the extraterrestrial, the first thing we do is put them on pills. We make sure that they're drugged out heavily, and that we often incarcerate them in various psychiatric institutes because it's a little too crazy. And the double standard of this is a religious background. You know, most of the greatest religious leaders, it all, you know, they claim to be, they have the word of God, they're passing the word of God on to us, and we believe them, and we you know, they're divine to us. But if a person says that they have a message from extraterrestrial, then we say, crazy, gotta lock them up. So it's a duality, it's a double standard. And there's two major people that I, you know, if you want to go to YouTube, I can give you, I would like to give you just two names to put in. And these, one is Richard Dolan, RichardDolan, Richard Dolan. He's a scholar, and he was previously studying the Cold War under Eisenhower when he went into a bookstore in Washington and found a book on U.S. security and the UFO. And he read the book, and 20 years later, he's written several books. And a very scholarly gentleman, Richard Dolan. You can look him up. And the second is Dr. John Mack. Dr. John Mack was the head of psychiatry at Harvard, and he was asked to look at somebody who claimed to be abducted, and he said, no, I'm not going to get into that crazy stuff. There's enough problems here. But eventually he was convinced, and after getting into many years of studying the subject and speaking to people who made those claims, he feels that it's real. So they're both on YouTube, and you can check lectures by them. They're both very accredited, down-to-earth people. And if you hear what they have to say after lengthy study of many, many years, I feel that you, too, will start to feel that all this is real, that we are being visited, that it's all for real. And
okay.
I think this is really important because we live in a small world full of prejudice, and I think that we're just looking on everything on a very small scale. We don't see the bigger world. When and if the extraterrestrial lands, I mean, we're going to refind ourselves as human beings, and all forms of prejudice will immediately disappear. It'll be like, are you a human? Yes, I'm a human too. So it'll, I know, we just have to open up. We have to expand our horizons, especially since we're technologically seeking other worlds ourselves right now. We'll be the UFO, in other words. We'll go down and get into other, you know, maybe those worlds. Who are these people coming here, you know?
Well, you got us started. You got us started. And I must say that you did cover all the grounds that you needed to, and you gave us the flip side, which is very, very important. So you presented a very balanced view today.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Michael from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Utrice. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to come a little bit back to Earth, but I'd like to look at the Earth from space, from a long way off, and to try to see a larger picture of it. And, you know, we've been talking about the rally that they recently held for jobs and justice. And firstly, I'd like to say I'm not in any position to judge or and I don't really place much value on opinions, but the people there rallied for jobs and justice, but not really for freedom. They wanted to secure the right to vote, but they will vote for the... hold on a second. I'm on the phone. You have to just give me some...
You have alarmed somebody.
I'm sorry. They wanted to secure the right to vote, but they will vote for the same system that they created, that created their disaffection in the first place. What I see is that we can't really reform our way to a good society. And neither will any bloody outward revolt or revolution bring about a good society. We really have... We've had all these things in the past, and we've had riots and various reforms and movements and social movements. But without understanding the environment, all this is really useless and only adds to the confusion. So the thing I wanted to say was that it's really kind of useless if you don't understand the environment. And as we can see, after all this time, the same issues are still open sores that we are confronted with daily as part of our existence. Again, all this sustained concern over decades and movements and progress, and then you have nine people in black robes come and wipe it all away in one vote. So nine people, they're all corrupt themselves, they're all conditioned themselves, and... For example, nobody will consider voting for a society without power. No one will elect someone who is not basically like themselves. If I presented the political landscape and I said, okay, people, until everyone figures out what's going on, what the cause and the effect, the result of all this chaos is, until we figure it out, we need to install a universal welfare state. No one should have political power. All this should be worked out with computers and programmed by people of goodwill, and we should ensure that. And they would just throw eggs at me and throw me out, you know, throw tomatoes and run me out of town with rail and tar and feathers. So even though it's absolutely needed to protect the vulnerable people and the vulnerable planet, the Earth, they won't consider it because they're conditioned in a certain way. Now, I'll give the other side. People will say, who are you, who am I, to tell us what to do? We have been doing such and such for such a long time, and we have been making slow evolutionary progress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I still say you can't reform yourself to a good society because people don't understand the environment. The environment is our consciousness and is both the cause and effect of all this. And until people can figure this out, all their actions will be the result of a cause, which will be the cause of another result. And we'll always find Snowdens and the NSA, and we'll find the Syrians and the Muslim Brotherhood, and all these things will be causes and effects, and we won't understand the environment, we won't understand what's taking place. Until we understand that, we need a new education to understand that, because more knowledge won't produce this understanding. More education won't, unfortunately, it won't. It takes self-knowledge to understand this. The next step for human beings is in the psychological area. It's not more jobs. It's not more power. It's not more my group has the power and yours, and we're going to install a new regime. And lo and behold, it looks like the old regime. And a new people are subjugated. So until we understand the environment, that it is our consciousness, and we are both the cause and the effect of all of this, until there's a radical change in the consciousness of human beings, the same basic system will be set up with a different name, a different flavor, a different fundamentalism, a different this, but it'll all fundamentally be the same system with competition and power and domination. And so that's what we need. We need something different. Because we've had education, we've had PhDs out the yin-yang, we've had knowledge, we've got libraries full of knowledge, we've got expanding knowledge and knowledge and knowledge. But knowledge is not our evolution. Our evolution is psychological, and that's what I wanted to put out there today.
Well, thank you very much for that. I'm sure we'll get some reaction. Thank you, Michael, for that.
You're welcome.
888-874-4888 is the number to call to put forward your considered opinions and thoughts. 888-874-4888. We hear next from Sarah of Dallas.
Hello, you, Therese. Greetings.
Hello. Thank you. How are you today?
I am doing great, you, Therese, and it's great. Nice to hear the two gents ahead of me that put out their proposal, and to Harvey with the UFO. I would hope that wherever those people are in the other universe, the other galaxies, they stay there and they don't come out here to get contaminated by us, because I don't want us going up out there to screw up any more planets than we have already screwed up down here. On Mr. Michael saying with the education process, we need to be specific when we say education, because your definition and my definition are two different things. Education means to me is that you learn something that you don't know before, and it's not anything formalized, not anything done in a classroom, that people feel that you get some kind of paper at the end of this learning process. You're always supposed to educate yourself and learn you something that you did not know before. But I'm digressing from the topic at hand. What I wanted to call about is this fiasco that happened on the mall this past weekend, and this so-called pep rally, as my husband and I were saying over the weekend, was a precursor to the 2014 election that's about to be geared up here. All I heard in these speeches on Saturday was basically telling us to prepare ourselves to vote, from Eric Holder to everyone else, Nancy Pelosi, John Lewis, who was a caricature of himself. All they were talking about is the Voting Rights Act, getting out there to vote, 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 vote. That's the only ticket item they talked about, nothing else. They have been scaring up people. As I said before, they have been using everything in this system operates on the balance of fear. It's either you're gonna, in religion, you have to be afraid of going somewhere you don't want to go, so therefore you need to find yourself into some sort of religious institution so that you can feel somewhat safe. Politics is the same thing. You need to find yourself onto some political party, because if you don't, then the evil from this side over here is going to come in and is going to take something from you. We have been voting and voting, and it has not made any change, because we've been recycling old wine into new bottles. That's what we have been doing. These people are a total disgrace. What Dr. King stood for, and if not anything about a dream, about somebody holding hands and singing "No Kumbaya" and running to a poll and voting. We want to talk about racial profiling that's going on. We want to talk about the unjust killing of innocent people by drones that this country has been doing, especially with what they're getting ready to gear up to do in Syria. They're coming out here once again spreading this fear about weapons of mass destruction that Al-Assad is using on his people to kill them, just as they did in Iraq, just as they did in Libya. Now they're about to play for the third time in Syria to say this man has used chemical weapons. There is no such thing. It has not happened, because if there's weapons been used, then they need to ask themselves, these rebels that the United States has backed and put in place to top the Al-Assad regime, you need to ask yourself where they got their weapons from, who is supplying them, and if it is a possibility that the United States is playing and her allies are playing tag team in order to achieve a certain result. Because it
But, you know, Sarah, you're drifting off your own point. You started telling us about the mall, and now we're talking Syria. So
yes, ma'am.
Don't get too sneaky.
Let me go back.
I'm listening.
Okay, that's why I want to go back to that, because with what they are doing, Utrice, with the war propaganda that's being pushed up, on what Dr. King was talking about, the triple evils that he spoke about, that in his in 1967, that they don't want to touch on: racism, militarism, and economic exploitation. These things are still relevant today. Not one person touched on those three topics. Everything was all about voting. It was all about telling us to go out and vote. We can vote and put the same people in office as we have been doing for the past 50 years, and nothing has changed. Because you can talk about putting new laws on the books, which is what John Lewis was saying. Oh, we need to put a Congress in place and write new laws. Laws are only as good as your ability to enforce them. And since none of these laws, we have a whole bunch of laws that people coming up with every time they're in Congress, and nothing has been enforced. It's just like they do with the Civil Rights Act. Everybody, they have dismantled Section 5 of it. Now you're talking about putting new laws on the book just to get people to keep them in this same old hurdle. The thing that all we have to do in order for us to get out of this mess that we're in is the ballot is supposed to get us out. And I'm with Malcolm X. It's going to have to be something else other than the ballot, because the ballot did not put us where we are, you trees. And a lot of people don't want to hear it. We are going to have to come down to a revolution in this country, just like they had a revolution in order to establish certain things in this country. It's going to have to come down to that. People don't want to talk about it, but that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
You're welcome,
the plate for everybody to react to. Thank you so much. Okay. Alex from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi. Great show, like always, Eugene.
Thank you. It's the byproduct of everybody's input.
Okay. Here's the answer to it all. I believe on this planet there's older spirit and most people are younger spirit, meaning that, you know, whatever, they still have to get up to speed. So if you look at the whole planet, it's just based on little kids, young spirits, and basically little kids, all they want is just fun, sex, drugs, with no consequences, okay? So that's one cycle. That just happens to be a cycle of consciousness. Right now, nicely and beautifully, the cycle has switched over now. Now, the little kids, which they're asleep, they're beginning now to wake up. And that's with the conscious. If you notice, the younger kids right now, they're smarter and smarter because they already are masters. They don't have to go through that cycle. We're in a cycle now, waking up. So my thing is to have a lot of people on Gary's show and your show and a lot of these things, it's to throw out the consciousness out there, to throw out and just say, okay, time to wake up. Time to wake up. And then within their spirit, you throw out that vibration out there. And then what happens is that people start waking up from within their spirit. Now, what would that mean? That would mean now that you will be responsible for your actions once you become conscious, once you wake up, meaning that the lawyers, the doctors, the politicians, all these people, the military, would be forced now to start waking up and start realizing, I can't do this. And this is what I'm throwing out there, and I'm telling other people about it, to do the same thing. That it's no revolution, nothing violent, nothing. Just throw out the consciousness to start having people wake up. And then within the spirit, and the cycle is that. It is beginning to switch, and people are beginning now to wake up. So throw it out there, and then the judges that will make, you know, because they've been bought off, will start saying, I can't do this. The politicians will turn around and says, I know this is wrong. It doesn't feel, I can't do this anymore. The policemen say, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's not right. And also the world leaders will turn around and say, I can't do this. People will start waking up, and it's all within our spirit. And that's what I would like to throw out there.
Well, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We're covering a lot of ground today, it seems. Thanks a lot for that, Alex. Thank you from New Jersey. Rick from Ohio, you're next.
Hello. Hey. How are you?
Hey.
Good. The woman from the islands, she sounded like two callers back.
Sarah.
Yes. She's right. She is right. About the king and the evolution of what's been happening. But so the next guy was saying, well, here is the answer. Did he not say that?
Yes.
This is the solution. It was hard for me to grasp that sort of metaphysical explanation. But I had called you before, earlier this year, and I told you about an idea that it's very difficult to talk to anyone about. Let alone, Sarah, her conversation, her understanding. You know, it's very difficult for me to talk to people about things at that level. You know, when you get on Facebook, everyone's upset, supposedly, but no one's technically saying why. You know, I get in tons of arguments, you know, when people say things, you know, even the most progressive people, the most, you know, pro sustainability, you know, green, or, you know, if they're looking at what's happening in the Americas with the indigenous people rising up and all of that. And then I ask them, why do you understand that? Why are you pissed off? You know, I'm not saying that you're not pissed off. I'm saying, but why? And, you know, I get insulted when I ask that, because people think that a lot of people feel that simply saying that they're upset and X, Y, you know, and all of that, it means that they are actually upset, you know, but it isn't necessarily so. And so the idea that I had brought to your attention some months ago was the idea that nothing has ever been broken as proof of anything. You know, no matter what a person understands to be true, or a people understand to be true, you technically can't break anything as proof. It's impossible. And so, for example, if a big one, but, you know, I personally am straight, but there's the issue of marriage equality, right?
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? Right.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, well, technically, for me, homophobia has nothing to do with sex, because you technically can't prove it. You can only undermine society as proof. And so homophobia simply splinters labor, which is actually requisite for looting resources. I mean, if you look at, for example, as I said before, the Pastor Lively went to Uganda 2010. Now he's up for crimes against humanity in Massachusetts for doing it. He went to Uganda preaching the gospel, which generated the Ugandan Christians killing people, basically. And he assisted the government in organizing and all of this stuff. And so by the end of 2012, for example, last year, the Ugandan Christians wanted a constitutional amendment passed to legalize genocide against its own people, but as a Christmas gift. But at the same time, the Ugandan region sits atop 2 to 6 billion barrels of crude oil. And so my understanding, my take is that religion is used as requisite for dividing society as multinationals move in and take the resources, or the unrestricted liberalization of resources, if you will. And so even talking about the tenets of Eastern religion, you know, the tenets of Eastern religion, when sought after, are economic in nature, even though they proclaim it divine, because you can't measure what religion does other than through economic means.
Well, if you don't mind holding a bit,
sure.
Rick, Alex wants to counter something that you have just said. Alex, are you there?
Yes, Ruchi.
Okay. Well, go right ahead.
Exactly like I said before, a bunch of young spirits that haven't woken up yet. They just don't get what I meant.
Okay,
about
so explain.
Having people, the mass majority of people on this planet, they're just young spirits, and they're in a sleep mode. And then we that are higher spirits or older spirits are awoken, and we see the mess that's all around us. And we're such a minute amount of people on this planet, I would say only maybe 5% of us, that we can't do much, because 95% of of the planet is run by young spirits that are asleep. And
so is Rick basically still not yet awake? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not. They can understand. That's the beauty of it, is that the whole concept here that we're both a young spirit and an old spirit. We're a genius and not a genius. We're that energy. It just happens to be in what cycle you're in. If you're in a sleep cycle, then it's more like magic and dreams and thing doesn't affect, which is, that's one cycle. The next cycle is to come back up to the waking cycle. And I think that's it's happening right now.
People, so Rick, where are you? Which cycle are you?
I'm tired of being awake. I want to go back to sleep.
I want to go back to sleep. I've been awake. I've been awake. Now it's time for me to go back to sleep. And now the younger spirits are becoming masters. They are becoming awake. And now they're going to begin. I see all great things ahead of us. I see the power of the human consciousness, of our spirit wakening up and saying, oh, my God, what a mess. And it's going to come from the younger kids. They're, if you notice, look at the younger kids, 2, 3, 5-year-olds. They're so smart. And this is what the cycle is coming up. They're going to make changes. They're going to make miracle things happen. And now we also have the data information, which I'm all for the NSA having everybody's information, because now you can track everybody who did wrong as well. Don't you see the beautiful flip side of the coin? That if you have all this data, that you are able to track anyone who did wrong as well.
So oh, Lord.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot. They're idiots. They shot themselves in a foot or in their head or in their peanut little brains, because they should have never made all this information available. Now they can be exposed for what they are. So it is the beauty of it. That's the beauty of truth. That's the beauty of consciousness. That it's like the Tao. You can't stop it. What's overflowing has to be subsided, and what's dry has to be flooded, and it's always in a homeostasis of balance. So,
oh Lord,
everything is coming now to a balance. It's overflooded now. It has to come down to a balance. So, again, not only myself and higher conscious people out there are throwing, wake up. These people are beginning to wake up. Their consciousness begin to wake up, and they say, I can't do this anymore. This is wrong. You know, it's in your soul and your spirit. Once you become conscious, you can't do it. I mean, Matrice, let me ask you something. If you know something's wrong, can you do it? For no matter what gain or whatever it is.
I think this is part of human nature. Even when you know something is wrong,
Then you're not awoken. Then you're not awoken.
Well, it depends. I don't know about these cycles that you're talking about. I think in the course of your life, there are things that you know that you're doing that are absolutely right in the way you see the world. You're okay. You're on firm ground. And then there are things where you know you are on a slippery slope, but you do them just the same because it is not. At that point, you're not operating necessarily at your highest self.
You're
in the world of pragmatism, and cut corners. I think that's human.
That's the difference, is that awoken, conscious people that are awakened, they can't do it. It's just like, remember Forbidden Planet, Robbie the Robot? You ever seen that movie?
No.
Well, you got to see it. It's an incredible movie. But Robbie the Robot... It's supposed to be a civilization on Mars, whatever, and a scientist went there and he discovered it and whatever. He built from their knowledge, he built this incredible robot, Robbie the Robot. And Robbie the Robot, these other people came from Earth, and then he showed them the robot and stuff, and then he said to the robot, Robbie, disintegrate the vase, which he did. Then Robbie, disintegrate the wall, which he did. And then he said, now... He point at the one of the commanders, and he said, disintegrate him. And the robot started getting all whacked out. He started, like, burning up because, again, it was within his programming. That's what I'm saying. Once you become conscious, you can't do it. It's part, you know, and there's people out there that believe what they have believed and have died for what they believe. Those that are walking conscious, like Martin Luther King and other people out there.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Alex, also for a rejoinder. And thank you, Rick. DX from L.A.
Hello?
Next. Hello. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, DX.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't me the first time. Now I clicked in. Okay. How are you, Therese?
Hello. And I hope you're doing okay, too.
I'm doing fine. I want to just comment... Well, as I was sitting here listening, it kind of changed what I was about to say. What was the name of the gentleman that just got off that was talking about the
spiritual? Rick of Ohio, and Michael from New Jersey. I mean, sorry, Alex from New Jersey.
I believe it was Alex. Yeah, I definitely don't agree with a few of the things that he said. First of all, I think when we're talking about the age of your spirit or whatever he was saying, I don't think we need to correlate that to chronological age at all, because there are a lot of these young people who haven't woken up yet and don't realize what's going on as well. And I believe in any age group that you're talking about, it's probably going to be about the same ratio. As he indicated, I do believe it's about 5% of the people of this country and of this world that are awakened. Let's just put that in quotes. Now,
and where did you get the 5%? I'm curious.
I would just agree. I would just give him that point. I don't know the exact amount. I don't think anybody does, but I don't believe it's very many people, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, giving him that point that I would tend to agree with that. Okay, so this when we talk about spiritually being awake, now he went into it a little too far for me because it started to sound like what they do in religion. You know, for instance, Christianity, either you're right or you're wrong, you're saved or you're not, right? So that's a judgment, is what it is. So, and as you indicated, it's not always that clear and black and white that way. And I think that's the dogmatic approach that religion takes. And I don't believe we want to go into that realm either. So he was starting to sound not spiritual, but religious to me, in a way. Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm listening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would kind of tend to disagree with some of that because there are gray areas. There are times when you may have to do something wrong in order to do something right. It just depends on what you're talking about. I do believe that if a person is spiritually or awake or conscious, then that does affect your behavior and the things you will and won't do, but it's not always black and white. You see? So when we approach this area of spirituality, let me get off of that I'll leave that there because I don't want to give you even more of a headache, you two. That there. I believe we need to deal in real terms of what needs to be done. Let's not talk about theories and whether this person's awake and that person's not awake. We're getting too much into the weeds. Let's see what needs to be done. And one of the things, well, to back up just a little bit, sometimes the reason people are not spiritually awake is because there's something blocking that. And I believe in this society we have a very serious problem with blockage, and that's been put there on purpose. And one of the things, well, let me just mention a few of the things I think are blocking a lot of people from actually seeing the pathway to truth or truth. And one of a few of the things are this materialism we have in the society, the media, definitely, they're one of the big ones, and people who get on TV and can speak well who are basically con artists, and you know who I'm referring to. So they're focusing these people into a certain funnel, and some of us aren't going into that funnel. We're spilling over the sides and saying, hey, look, you know, something's wrong. I'm not going through that little opening, right? So I think what we can do is we need to start not only trying to wake people up, and every chance you get, talk to people about these things, point out some truths. It's very difficult, though, when you've been programmed the way especially the people in the United States have been programmed at this point. So I think you need to not only do that, but the 5% or whatever it is, 3% that are awake, let's say, in quotes, who have all these separate issues that they fight for, like the gays get out in the street, you know, the immigrants get out in the streets. We're doing it separately. What we need to do is support each other's issues and come together. And I believe it was Einstein that said you only need about 1% of the population, I believe, to affect change. So the point is we all need to get together, all of these causes. And I believe we touched on that last week about some of these groups that are only out for their own interests. So if you just leave the formal groups aside that are out there, just the people who are awake need to get up, get out in the streets, get together, not just when something happens, but every day. You know, the people who are for against this military industrial complex, the people who are against the prison complex, the people who are for gay rights, the people who are for, you know, whatever issue it is, let's all get together. And I think that's where we need to be going with this. What do you think?
Well, I'm actually listening more than talking today, but you put some very profound thoughts on the table. I think, though, the challenge would be in this, we have to take into consideration that we are in a transition period.
Right.
Transition period being the shift from a white majority population to a white minority population. And the whole business of power has to do with who ultimately has the greater or the greatest control over strategic resources.
Exactly.
So with this shift will come clashes over these resources, and they'll become more and more fierce. So the question is, even though people are inclined to basically, you know, stand in their own part of the room, their own corner of the room, even if they were encouraged to come out of the corners and meet in the middle of the room and basically exchange ideas and so forth,
right,
when the challenge is how to carve up these resources, who will have control over what, I'm not so sure that people will stick to the whole idea of coalition building. They'll revert to the very primitive way of operating, which is
Yeah. Well, the thing is, maybe things have to get so bad for people that they see that there's no other way to do this except for to support each other. And I wanted to also one last comment about what Alex was saying. I don't agree about the NSA. I don't think it's a good thing at all that they're taking all of our information. I think that information is a funny thing. It just depends on who's privy to that information. You know, if they have information about everybody in the country, they're only going to highlight the information that. The bad thing he was saying, you can track what they're doing. They're not going to do that. They're going to track what the normal citizen is doing or the person who can't defend themselves. I mean, we've already seen that they don't prosecute people in high places, so they're not even going to let us know about that. So it depends on who has access to the information and what they do with it. Is that correct or not?
I think so. I think you have a strong point.
Right. So, you know, since we're not privy to most of this information ourselves, even though it's our information collectively, we can't sit there and, let's say, pick out the way they do. We could pick out what Senator such and such has done because we don't have access to the information. And, you know, I believe another point he was making about human nature. I definitely agree with that. I believe that it's human nature to be selfish sometimes and all these things. So these are a lot of issues we have to deal with. I just, you know, I appreciate your show, and thank you for letting me put my ideas on the table. I'll give someone else some time to say something.
Thank you so much for your contribution, DX. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We've had quite a panoramic view of today, and we got kind of transcendental and spiritual and ethereal today. What's going on? Everybody's into some deep soul and spiritual stuff. It was interesting, just the same, to hear how people view the connections between, you know, what you think might be political, or what you think might be social, and of course, what is spiritual and what is psychological. Very interesting. Very interesting connections that people are making today. I was wondering where the only current event we have so far is the commentary on the weekend charade in Washington. But we'll see. We'll see who else comes up and gives us something to think about. 888-874-4888. I want to let you know that we are going to be continuing our series. It's going to be an occasional series, so it's not going to be done in a sequence, one right after the other. But we'll be taking another look, a more in-depth look again, and we'll be focusing on Detroit. So please do keep that in mind. And a long time ago, in the year 1400 or so, I did tell you to look up a historical event in a place called Opelousas, Louisiana. We'll be coming to that because it's about time. It's showing up in many ways. I see Alex and Rick both called back. Let's have them both on, and let's see what exchange we might get out of Alex and Rick today.
Hello.
Okay. This is Alex, is it?
Yeah, I'm Alex. I'm on the call as well.
Yeah,
okay. Rick. And Rick, are you there?
I am.
Okay.
Oh, good. So you should talk to each other. We'll be listening.
I just want to clear up the point that I meant by younger spirits and older spirits, meaning that...
You're talking directly to Rick.
Correct.
Okay, and so go right ahead.
This is what I mean by that, energy can never be destroyed, just changes form. So we always will be and we always have been. So that's just part of what we are. Meaning that older spirits, I mean that many, many, maybe hundreds of lifetimes. And then you have younger spirits that are in that trek, going, learning, evolving, learning, and accumulating knowledge. So when I meant by that, by younger and older spirits, that's what I meant by. And then depends on what cycle you're in. If you're in this sleep cycle or you're in awakened cycle. So that's what I mean by that. So it isn't a life. It isn't that you live to be, 0 years old up to 75 years old, or you're 82 years old and you die. And to prove my point, and this would be shocking to everybody, to prove my point that most people are still young spirits and like childlike, to prove my point is that what happens when people get older? And I guess this is going to be mind-blowing to everyone. They're going to start realizing, oh, my God, it's true. Guess what happens when you're 70, 75, 80 years old? What happens to you? You become childlike. You become like a little child. Because, I'm just saying, that's what you were always.
Now, Alex, jump in anytime you wish.
And now, but let me just finish off, and I'll let him say what he has to say.
Okay.
And then I would say that very rarely – do you find people in their 70s, 80s, or 90s that are older that already have all their marbles and they're still an older spirit? Very rare do you find those people. Most people revert back to being like little child. So that's
okay.
My point.
Okay. Let me ask. Well, see, what I understand to be true is that I'm on left field compared to you, because I understand that the tree of life, all life forms of planet Earth are in decline, and they're in decline because of how we do business. And so now perhaps it is our, whomever takes up his head, it's our obligation to resolve the problem. And so you're saying, I'd like to ask, how do you prove it?
How do I prove what?
Yeah, because I understand that the mind can understand anything that can ever be understood. You simply can't break anything as proof. You can't be divisive. You can't be divisive with speech, as in rhetoric or sophistry or anything like that. And so I'm asking you, if you understand everything that you do, how do you justify, where is proof of it?
Where's proof?
Yeah.
Like I mentioned with the start of my, when I called, when you were on the line, I said that energy can never be destroyed. It just changes form. That's the proof of it. We always have been. We always will be. So as we are now, that means we will be in the future. That's just the way things are. And it just, if you're going to base your whole consciousness at just this existing of your life right now.
So then if what I say is also true, then how would you address that problem?
Which is which one?
And having a physical understanding about everything, you know, energy transfers and all of this. I mean,
it's like multinationals are looting
natural resources globally.
It's just the dance of our existence. That's just how it is. I mean, if we are what we are, and we're all collectively as one entity,
which we are.
We're doing is watching parts of ourselves, how it went out of control, and is for us now to come back and put it back into control. So I see a great future ahead of us, because we have messed up things so bad that it's only time to understand how good we are to fix things, and how it's a great balance. So I'm looking forward to it. It's just the dance of life, of existence.
This is a natural cycle, the way everything is.
It just is what is. You know,
it's a natural cycle?
I didn't say natural, no. It's just a cycle of energy.
The decline of life is
a planet going supernova or star blowing up. Doesn't it get worse? Until it blows up, and then it goes through another cycle. So that's what we're going through. We're going through a huge kind of rebalancing, which will balance out pretty soon. We'll start balancing out probably in the next 5 to 10 years. We'll see the outcome of it. And it's in the new cycle of the younger kids that are already waking up and saying, wow.
Awakening. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of genocide?
Huh?
What do you think of genocide?
You're only killing yourself. The killing, they're killing themselves.
So it's self-submergence, I guess.
Everything is a mirror image.
Self-submergence.
Your teeth, this could be for hours of talk because I deal with all this stuff. But everything, you know, everyone, all we are is a mirror to each other. There's only one entity. We all look at ourselves. And all we are is just reflecting ourselves. Whatever you do comes back to you. That's what it boils down to. That's being awoken. That's being conscious.
The golden rule, right?
Those are the spiritual rules, that whatever you do comes back to you. So
okay, so where is resolve?
You have to wake up and not do it.
So you're saying that I'm not awake?
I didn't say you. I just say what is what is. People need to wake up. People need to wake up. And that's just the realization of energy. Whatever you do comes back to you.
I don't see how that is applicable to, I mean, this is so much, I mean, look at Egypt and the Muslim Brotherhood, or look at FARC,
little kids playing their games. They're not awoken. Little kids
how do you
just playing imaginary stuff that there's no consequences when you're asleep. It's all a dream state now. And people are now beginning to awaken.
Well,
and
I'm
then
sorry,
all
bro.
That will be gone.
I'm sorry, bro.
I know. It's hard to fathom all this stuff. It's time to wake up.
I tell you how I became awake. Several years ago, Bush appointed John Bolton to the UN, or UN ambassador to the UN as a recess appointment. Right? Do you follow me? Do you remember that?
I don't really follow any of that stuff.
It isn't, actually. And so I literally tried to put my brain around that to justify some in some hidden corner somewhere on.
You can't. You just have to.
Hold on. You got the four for a while there. And so I tried to put my brain around it, and I physiologically couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I accepted that it was sound judgment. Right? Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, that is as simple as a simple equation as one and one. equaling two, as opposed to saying that other sum is actually true, to say, well, 2.00 whatever. But when you apply the other sum to your daily life, things will break down around you. And so that's a simple sum and equation. But there are more complex sums and equations that are also true. Mm-hmm. And the John Bolton issue was one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I simply said that that's the wrong answer. And that's when I woke up. And that's when I understood that plunder is groundless. And that's why the planet is screwed up. Mm-hmm. And so that's economic, the numbers. And so when you speak of metaphysical, I don't think you can prove that at all. I'm not saying that it's true, but I think you can prove it. You know, do you see what I'm saying? I mean, if you have a Tiananmen moment, if you end up standing in front of a tank because you see injustice. Now, I had a roommate who fought in Tiananmen, and he said one day, life is important. And the reason I think he said it is because regardless of what you understand to be true, you can't break anything to prove it. You can't be divisive.
We'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid. It's a very, very deep discussion, so deep that I think my two surviving brain cells are overcharged at the moment. But I want to thank you all for your contributions today. Certainly you took the conversation in many, many directions. Harvey, Sarah, Michael, Alex, Rick, and DX, thank you so much for your contributions. And maybe, you know, I'm getting a hint that we may take up this question of spirituality one day as a discussion. It seems to be quite interesting. Thanks a lot. Coming up next, you want to keep it right here, is Richard Wolff with Economic Update, and we'll see each other tomorrow, same time. Please pass the word. Let's grow PRN.FM and your favorite program right here, Lead Stories. Send me a note at leadstories@gmail.com. or on the Facebook page, Lead Stories with Utrice Lead. That's LEID. Thank you so much. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.